Billy Grahams that can stir a crowd, and Holy Spirit pulls upon them and people come to the altar. I'm talking about the men and women that have a heart after God and willing to say, here am I, send me. Before Billy Graham was known, he was that guy that was just talking to people, engaging people. And that's my heart tonight. I'm breaking a little bit of tradition. On the screen, there's no PowerPoint. And that's going to take me to my next point, Pentecost. How many were here on Pentecost Sunday? How many of you saw the power out? All of a sudden, I paused and I was like, wow. You know, I like Pastor Matt. He's engaging. But I also realized sometimes I look at that screen a little too much. And I just enjoyed listening to Pastor Matt, hearing his words, allowing Holy Spirit to come upon me and just stir my heart. So this evening, I just want you to just not pay attention to the screen. Pay attention to what the Holy Spirit's saying. And I actually want you to follow along. If you have your Bible or your Bible app, we're going to be looking at 2 Kings 2. And if you'll go ahead and pull that up. On Pentecost Sunday, Pastor Laurie mentioned a little bit of the Great Commission and that those that believe are witnesses. Witnesses. And that's going to be a key piece into this message. Each and every one of us are witnesses. And that's what God's looking for, is that witness. Verse 1 of 2 Kings chapter 2. And it came to pass, when the Lord was about to take up Elijah into heaven by a whirlwind, that Elijah went with Elisha from Gilgal. Then Elijah said to Elisha, stay here, please, for the Lord has sent me on to Bethel. But Elisha said, as the Lord lives and as your soul lives, I will not leave you. So they went down to Bethel. Now the sons of the prophets who were at Bethel came out to Elisha and said to him, do you know that the Lord will take away your master from over you today? And he said, yes, I know. Keep silent. Then Elijah said to him, Elisha, stay here, please, for the Lord has sent me on to Jericho. But he said, as the Lord lives and as your soul lives, I will not leave you. So they came to Jericho. Now the sons of the prophets who were at Jericho came to Elisha and said to him, do you know that the Lord will take your master from over you today? So he answered, yes, I know. Keep silent. Then Elijah said to him, stay here, please, for the Lord has sent me on to the Jordan. But he said, as the Lord lives and as your soul lives, I will not leave you. So the two of them went on. And 50 men of the sons of prophets went and stood facing them at a distance, while the two of them stood by the Jordan. Now Elijah took his mantle, rolled it up, and struck the water. And it was divided this way and that, so that the two of them crossed over on dry ground. And so it was, when they had crossed over, that Elijah said to Elisha, ask, what may I do for you before I am taken away from you? Elisha said, please, let a double portion of your spirit be upon me. So he said, you have asked a hard thing. Nevertheless, if you see me when I'm taken from you, it shall be so for you. But if not, it shall not be so. Then it happened as they continued on and talked that suddenly a chariot of fire appeared with horses of fire and separated the two of them. And Elijah went up by a whirlwind into heaven. And Elisha saw it and cried out, my father, the chariot of Israel and its horsemen. So he saw him no more. And he took hold of his own clothes and tore them in two pieces. He also took up the mantle of Elijah that had fallen from him and went back and stood by the bank of the Jordan. Then he took the mantle of Elijah that he had fallen from him and struck the water and said, where is the Lord God of Elijah? And when he had also struck the water, it was divided this way and that, and Elijah crossed over. Now when the sons of the prophets who were there from Jericho saw him, they said, the spirit of Elijah rest on Elisha. I'm going to pause there. Elisha knew a moment. Elisha was in communication with God, knowing that something was going to transfer and happen. Likewise, so did Elijah. When you're pressed into God, you're going to know the moment. You're going to see it. Even Jesus talking to disciples, he said, you're not going to know the hour or the day when the Son of Man comes, but you'll know the seasons. So I'm asking you tonight, know the moment, know the season. Do you sense it? Do you hear it? Do you feel it? Two, know who you are as a successor. Elijah did not know, or did he know? But at the same point, he didn't know that maybe he was going to have that double portion. Let me ask a question. What would Elisha's ministry be if he didn't ask for that double portion? He was called to be a successor to Elijah. But this narrative and story that we have of Elisha is that he asked for a double portion. So ask. Ask when you know you're a successor. Are you guys successors tonight? Are you sure? Holy Spirit was released on Pentecost. We are all successors. It may look different, but we are all successors. Four, rest in the authority of God's Spirit. One of the things I just read was Elijah called on the God of Elijah and said, waters part. Right after that, the 50 men and the prophets that were from Bethel said, wow, the anointing rests. The anointing of Elijah rests on Elisha. They saw it. So in that moment, there was a transfer. In that moment, Elisha began to realize, I just called on the God of Elijah and he answered. Therefore, now I can walk in this authority. When you read out that chapter, one of the most favorite and quoted scriptures that my father, who was bald, would quote to me was the fact that Elisha called out the bears to maul the kids that would mock him for being bald. There was authority in that. There was authority in that. Now, one of the things I see and I struggle with a lot of times is, do we want to call out to God for that anointing? Because with that anointing comes great responsibility. It means I have to press in. I don't have to tell every day at work that I'm a believer, that I'm a Christian. People already begin to realize it to the point where they're coming to me and saying, hey, Parker, I'm sorry for cussing in front of you. I am sorry. Because they see the anointing. I don't have to wear the t-shirt that says, I'm Jesus Christ, or I'm of the Lord, or some Bible verse, because I'm trying to live a life that is under that anointing. And let me tell you what, in my job, there are moments where I do want to cuss. I have to deal with the general public, and sometimes they're fun to deal with. And I have to have the fruits of the Spirit. And I have to say, God, I need your help. But when I don't fulfill the lust of the flesh, all of a sudden people begin to say, oh, wow, something's happening here. Who is Parker? I spent a number of years with the Chick-fil-A organization. I was a manager and developed training manager for them, worked with corporate, a wonderful experience. Last year, one of the big shakeups of the industry was the CEO, Dan Cathy, decided to resign. And throughout the whole organization, we kind of thought, wait a second, what just happened? He's only been doing this for a short amount of time. And he said, I want my son to take the helm. He's ready. Know when the season to pass it. Don't hold on to it too long. Because what I do know about Scripture is even when you pass a baton over, your story, your narrative is not over. You don't fade in the background. God still has assignment. And you know what? Look at Elijah. We talk about him today because he was taken up in a chariot of fire because God loved him so much. How many people in Scripture were taken up like that? That just shows you this connection with God. Now let's talk about Elijah for a second, this mighty man of God. We're going to go back into 1 Kings chapter 19. Instead of being in 2 Kings, we're going to go to 1 Kings. And this point, Elijah's fleeing from his life from Jezebel. They have this great big victory. Jezebel's not happy. She's engaging and saying to Ahab, Ahab, how did you let this happen? This is the Mount Carmel story. And all of a sudden, Elijah runs away and he hides. Elijah is saying, God, I am the only one left. Every single person is kneeling and bowing to Baal. When I was asking the Lord about this message, the Lord said to me, Parker, this is the distress of the American church. Right now, they're looking at the whole picture and saying, God, we're the only ones that have not yielded to Baal. And I hear the Lord very clearly tonight saying, don't give in to that spirit. Don't give in to inwardly looking because there's a miracle right at your doorstep. There's a movement that's about to shake an awakening, and you're part of it. And it's not just being in a pew or a chair praying. It's being actively involved. I don't know your narrative. I don't know your story. It could be politically. It could be in your community. It could just be with your kids or your grandkids. But God is wanting to use you in a pivotal moment that's going to shake because you're going to get vision. Let's turn to 1 Kings 19:13. When Elijah heard it, he pulled his cloak over his face and went out and stood at the mouth of the cave. Then a voice said to him, what are you doing here, Elijah? I picked that verse, but I'm going to tell you what happened beforehand. God says, would you go to the mountain? Already, Elijah's having dialogue with God. Why does Elijah have to go to a mountain to talk with God? Because God's wanting to show him something. As soon as he goes to the mountain, there's a fire, there's an earthquake, there's a wind. And it says that God was not in any of those. When God's not answering us in the normal place, do not forsake God. Don't go out of his presence. Part of that was God saying, I'm trying to get your attention. Wake up, Elijah. Elijah replies to God, I have been very zealous for the Lord God Almighty. The Israelites have rejected your covenant, torn down your altars, and put your prophets to death with the sword. I am the only one left, and now they are trying to kill me too. The Lord said to him, go back the way you came and go to the desert of Damascus. When you get there, anoint Hazael, king over Aram. Also anoint Jehu, son of Nimshi, king over Israel, and anoint Elisha, son of Shaphat, from Abel Mohalla, to succeed you as prophet. Right there was vision. Right there was this moment of saying, this is who's going to succeed after you. There's purpose in your destiny. There's appointment for you. Harvest and the weariness that we come in the middle of this year. Don't give in. Don't give up. God is positioning this house to bring restoration and leadership. Many leaders are going to come into the doors for refreshment. Many leaders store them and then send them out. Some may stay, but some may go. But that's the charge. That's the paradigm. That's the shift. See, the story and narrative of Scripture is their succession. Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, it was passed on. Moses, Aaron, even Miriam. Jesus, Peter, Paul, and Timothy. There was this succession that happened. Many times we get blinded in that moment of being caught off guard. we get caught in those wounds. Let me tell you something. I felt like giving up in ministry just because doors wouldn't open. Tragedy has struck my family and shaken my world. And it feels like, God, am I the only one that cares? Am I the only one that's actually praying? Am I the only one that's really wanting to hear from you? And my heart to you is this. Yes, he sees. Yes, he's there. Yes, he cares. In Acts chapter 2 on Pentecost, we quote it a lot. Peter stands up and he says, men and brothers, this story is going to be continued on. And this blessing goes for you and your generations to hereafter, to many of those who will hear and follow and obey. He also says that in this day that the prophet Joel is fulfilled. Sons and daughters shall prophesy. That your young men shall have dreams. Your old men should have visions. And on my men servants and my maid servants, I'll pour out my spirit. That's happening. Two nights ago, I had back-to-back dreams each night. I don't usually have dreams. It startled me. But God's moving, and he's wanting to talk. Don't give up. And one of those things that I began to realize was the hurt I had to let go. Because when you hold on to hurt, you can't give anything out. You can't showcase a baton of succession when you're hurt, because you can't give it away. A church that I was a part of for over 10 years and on staff at, they just posted that they're growing a succession of pastors. And they gave a vision of what that might look like for a wonderful transition. I thought, that's beautiful. You don't see that often in a church. I know here when Pastor Ray was here and all of a sudden he gave the vision and saying, Pastor Matt is going to be your new pastor. There was a vision. He's passing the baton. So those of you that have leaders in your life, mentors in your life, listen, allow them to pour into you. I've had a mentor, Pastor Melvin McLeese. That man's taught me how to pray. That man has taught me how to intercede. That man has taught me when every single thing in your world is shaken, that one of the best places to go is on your knees. And you stay there. Pastor Matt has taught me a beautiful piece of marriage, to date my wife, to love my wife, to serve my wife. The mentors that I've had in my life that have poured into me have just showcased a piece, a pocket, and a moment in my life that have shaped who I am. So my heart for you is follow after somebody. Allow God to pinpoint them. Because that's something that Elijah knew Elisha was going to be the one he was supposed to mentor and pour into. And Elisha had to receive it. If you have no one, Holy Spirit's always there. Holy Spirit is always willing. And he always will bring somebody. It might be for 3 months. It might be for a year. It might be for 6 years. But God is in a business of succession. It's scriptural. It's kingdom. Would you stand with me tonight? Thank you, Father. Father, I just believe this house is stepping into the next. This house is stepping into something new, a new realm and a new territory. I pray right now that each one in this room, each person that attends this house in this community would feel the awakening of Holy Spirit over their heart, over their minds, over their spirits. That you would begin to move over them to walk this way with you. To want to grab hold of the mantle, to grab hold of the next. So I pray right now, Holy Spirit, that you would just move with great wind of your spirit. That great revival starters would emerge out of this house. That the young people would be awakening to your heart and your spirit. I pray, Father, for the babies in the nursery, that they would hear your word, that they would drink of your word. They would be so immersed in their word that they're just soaked and people would see it and know that they are world changers. So come, Holy Spirit. We thank you tonight for your word, the kingdom of succession. In Jesus' name, amen.